Hello and welcome to the space where we're discussing ideas around what it means to be in this space and time. No matter where you are around the world, welcome. No matter what mood you're in or what you're feeling, we hope this podcast helps lift your vibrations today. I'm Cash.
And I'm Perry.
And this is The Human Now.
What happened?
Bro, I got to say, I got a little nervous, but that's probably because you're sitting a little closer to me, man.
I am. I can't see you through the avocado trees.
That's right. It's good. They're growing.
Yes. Well, the reason I'm standing in another chair is because we have someone on the show with us. Should I give you a bit of an introduction?
Yeah, man, let's hear it. Who do we have?
Here we go. So born into a Chinese immigrant family and growing up in South Auckland, this man's journey started far from where he is today and where we know he'll continue to go. He has a checkered past that movies are made of which makes his success all that more impressive. During one episode of Gang Violence where he fearlessly tried to take them on single-handedly, he was confronted by a pistol and beaten so hard that the retina in his right eye became detached, and shortly after, he lost sight in his left eye also. Being blind in both eyes for 6 months, he was left in a state he labeled as pitch black darkness. I'm sure emotionally and mentally as well. But after experiencing a physical loss of vision, calling it a gift, he turned that into a life vision. One day decided he wanted to choose the path of good over bad, of white over black. He could have stayed on the path where he was pulled, but rather he decided to push himself onto a new path with grit, determination, and hard work. He's an entrepreneur. He's a father. He dabbles in real estate. He has a dumpling empire of 5 stores with many more to come, I'm sure. He's the dumpling king himself, the owner of Something Dumpling, Shane Liu. Welcome.
Thank you for taking the time to write that, Perry. I'm guessing you wrote that.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for being here with us.
No, legit, because hearing it from you, all I can say is just thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Cool. Well, welcome to the show.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the table. It's nice to have you here. It's nice to have your energy in the room. We like to start the episodes off with a morale check and just check where the vibes are.
Yeah.
So let's start with Perry. We'll work our way around. Perry, where are you sitting, man?
Man, I'm sitting in a different chair.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting at a 10 out of 10 on the morale scale.
Let's go, baby.
I'm feeling good. It's nice to have Shane in the room. And I'm excited, yeah.
Yeah, man. Shane, how are you feeling?
I'd say today of all days, I'd give myself a solid 8.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
Very good. Akash?
Well, I'm a little all over the place, man. But I'm using that as excitement to just sometimes, when I get excited, I'm just in the flow. So I'm a 10 out of 10 and I can only see upwards from here.
Yeah.
So.
I heard one of your work phone calls a little earlier today and I didn't think you were going to be... coming in at a 10.
Of course, it's one of those days, you know, we just got to put out fires and you just got to do what you got to do. But we're here now and bringing the energy and the presence into the space.
Should we hit us, let's do some gratitude.
Yeah, so Shane, what we like to do is before we get into the discussion, we always just like to think about what we're grateful for being in the room and in the space. You know, it's not always easy to be... we could be in a worse off place. So I think today what I'm grateful for, and I think it's just come through your reflection, is just for the space. You know, like it's so normal to just keep walking through here time and time again and it becomes normal, you know? The novelty wears off and you're just like, yeah, it's here. But to have someone like yourself in here, you know, and for you to say what you've said about it, it's just like, oh, damn. Like,
I was like, wow. Holy crap. Wow, this place is amazing.
So, yeah, definitely super, super, super grateful to be sitting here at this table.
Cool. What about you, Shane? What are you feeling grateful for?
Oh, man. I took my daughter to school this morning, and I'm grateful just to be able to, be healthy enough to, you know, be able to take my daughter to school, run around with her, play with her.
Awesome. I'm feeling grateful for family, number one. I think the room as well. I think, like you said, we sort of walk in here. I mean, more for you, but even for me, I walk in here sort of once or twice a week and we sort of become blasé about what we've built here.
Yeah.
But it is really special and it's amazing to be able to have this technology. I'm also grateful for social media. I think social media gets a little bit of shtick about been in a negative space, but I mean, it gives us the opportunity to connect with people like yourself. So I'm grateful for the positive aspects.
Definitely.
And building those connections.
All right. So with every guest that we get into the podcast, we always like to start with the morning montage.
Yeah.
And for us, that's like, we call this an anchor. And it's when you're in the lowest of the lows, when you're down in the trenches, this is the song that's going to amp you up, pump you up. And what it represents is the backing track to your life movie. So if you're sitting in the cinema and you're watching your life movie, what is the song that plays to your opening sequence that's going to get you revved up to a morale past 10, let's call it 100.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be the best version of you. This is what the audience is going to see when they see your day in the life, mm-hmm. right from when you hit the alarm. Mm-hmm. What's the song that plays, Shane? Tell us.
It's Runaway, Kanye West.
Here we go. Paint us a picture. The alarm goes off.
You know, I'm listening to just piano keys, right? If you actually get to know the song, it's actually so dark. Sure, it's very creative, but it's so dark. It's an absolute mess and it's chaos.
Yeah.
But to me, it's beautiful. Mm. I think that's what makes the song so relatable to me, because my life is nothing short of chaos. And because it's full of problems here and there, and I'm a big mess most days. I'm terrified most of the time, anxious. I'm all these things, right? And because I feel all these things, I want to listen to Kanye describe it, and I look up to him as a creative.
Yeah.
I find peace in knowing that what I'm going through is normal, and it's part of the process.
Yeah.
And you know, compared to Kanye, I'm just a nobody. That's the truth. But if he's going through these things, and I'm going through it, it's a blessing actually. I'm lucky to feel these things, to go through these things. Talking about the morning routine, the ritual. Most mornings for me are messy. It's a rush. I have kids.
Yeah.
I have all these things going on. It's not picture perfect. And that's, I think, what this song's all about.
Mm, yeah.
It's not picture perfect. And I find great peace in that. It's crazy. We've talked about a few things about before and my relationship with darkness and demons and stuff like that, and how I'm so comfortable rolling with it. Later. That's the song.
Nice.
Sweet, man.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing that. I guess the best place to start, and I think the... the biggest driving force in anyone's life is their childhood and how they grew up. Mm-hmm. So I want you to take us all the way back to South Auckland. Were you born here?
No.
No?
No.
When did you move here?
Born in 89, so 91.
91.
Yeah.
So tell 91. Us what was life like growing up?
It's a great question. Let's go through a journey today. Let me just break it down for myself today.
Sweet.
Just live.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
If I was to be critical, it must have been quite traumatic, actually. Well, I came with my biological father on a plane. I hadn't seen him for years. And then the moment he dropped me off to the airport, I guess he left me with my mum and my stepdad. So 20-hour flight, already scared, never met my dad, never met my mum, really. I guess it starts there. Off the plane, from dad, who I didn't know, to mum, who I also didn't know, to another man, in a car. I have memories of vomiting all over the car, actually, on the ride home. And that's how I came to New Zealand.
So, when were you born? How old were you at that point?
Two and a half.
Two and a half. Jesus, did not know that.
I never thought about it quite deeply, but now that you ask and I think about it, a little bit emotional. I've never played victim in my life. Yep. So today let's just go through the trauma.
Yeah,
absolutely. Do you, is your biological dad still around or?
No. That's very complex too. He disappeared in my life for a long time and then we made a reconnection. And then we disconnected again. Such a shame. I've certainly put in the effort, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
What do you think that's showing as for you in your life today?
Why am I crying? certainly, well, because it's certainly traumatic because, you know, I've separated from the mother of my child, and for a long time in that relationship, I really tried to keep things together. And I think it's rooted to that trauma, right? Mm. So it must be a big deal to me. I also have memories of when my biological father was in New Zealand, and as young as 5 or 6, I'd walk to his house and obviously be a bit shut down and whatnot.
That takes some guts, man. Like, you're talking 5 or 6 years old. You're talking about 2 years old coming on the plane and just turning up. Like, I can't even comprehend the psyche and the brain just isn't prepared for that at that age, you know? But it's just the test and just what you had to go through, man. That's massive. What a way to start a story, you know?
So I appreciate you for going there as well and being that vulnerable. So thank you.
It's all good. So it starts there. My stepfather and my mum were strawberry farmers. So they met picking strawberries. When I came to New Zealand, they had a lunch bar. And I have memories of being a lunch bar. You have to, like, because it only opens till like midday sort of thing, right? Yeah. So they start really early, they bake and they do all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I remember they'd scoop me up, you know, at 4 a.m. in the morning or something and carry me downstairs and put me in the car. And I would go, I'd be sleeping in the car while they start to work and hustle and whatnot. And then I have memories of waking up, you know, around 8 o'clock or something. I'd try to get out of the car. There's this bloody dash out there. I still don't like dash out today. That would terrify me as a kid. It'd just be barking at me. I'd get out of the car, run to my parents' lunch bar. So there, yeah. And then that lunch bar was in Pamuel, Mount Wellington. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of my childhood in Mount Wellington. That's where my parents bought their first property.
Same.
Mount
Wellington kid.
Yeah. 13 Riley Place was the street. I've got memories of obviously being in the lunch bar. We spent a lot of time in Otara. I hear a lot of people talk about Otara today, right? And there's like a negative annotation to it. Not in my childhood, not in my memory. The markers are something I really look forward to in the weekends. And I'm like, yes, you know, and I get, you know, my parents would do their thing, do the groceries for the lunch bar, whatever. And I'm like, oh, there's the big slide, right? Which was probably the coolest playground in Auckland back then, you know. All this food, live music, Pokemon cards. I like Pokemon cards back then. And go buy Pokemon cards and stuff. And I had great memories there.
There's a great sense of community as well.
100%. I've got great memories there. But it's been a long time in Otara, actually. Manukau, we lived in Manukau before they bought the house in Wellington. Mm-hmm. We've lived everywhere.
Mm.
High school stood up for me. I did very well in high school. I got university entrance very young. And that's what led me to, I guess, getting in trouble and doing stupid things with hanging out with the wrong crowd. Well, really, because I had the last year and a half. What's the point, right? Not showing a class. No one cared. No teacher cared, you know. Went to Packaround College. And then, I got involved with, you know, drugs, gangs, all that kind of stuff. And I like to say this every time on podcast. Criminal activity is always wrong. There is no justification for it. Just because you come from a poor neighborhood, you come from the hood, whatever it may be, whatever your story is, I don't care. I don't think anyone cares. Wrong is wrong. what I did in my past is purely for personal gain, purely 100% selfish. There is no justification. I'm really against it today. And I'm probably going to spend the majority of my life, I think, making amends with that. Mm. Not just, you know, people, quote unquote, say, you know, they want to make peace within themselves. Mm. Fuck that, man. I want to make real peace with action in a broader spectrum in society. I don't want to go too deep into that. So I got into a lot of trouble.
Yep.
Cool.
That's when I took university seriously. And whilst on HomeD, that's when I started to do university properly, you know. And I got a bachelor's in civil engineering and a bachelor's in business and marketing and information systems.
Why engineering?
For my parents.
There it is. Is the Asian parents coming out?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know anything about engineering today. But I do know like the way engineers think, right? With problem solving and stuff like that. That's when I started to work and hustle again. I've always worked hard and hustled. At uni, I really tried to work. A key thing that stands out for me is my mother would tell me, Shane, because of all these criminal records, for you to even just be the same like as everyone else, mm-hmm. You're going to have to probably work 10 times as harder.
Yeah.
And for you to excel, we don't know what that factor is. You might have to work 100 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I tried really hard, multiple full-time jobs and studying full-time. And that's when I started like real estate. I bought my first house, 21, I think.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. 34 this year. Because of the criminal records after university, I couldn't get a job. Yeah. And I joined a little tech company, very small, no money. And we grew that together. It ended up growing really quickly. I sold the shit out of that thing. I
mean, so you had skin in the game in that one? Or?
Yeah. Only later on.
Yeah.
When I say I sold the shit, I mean I really sold the shit out of that thing. We went from, I don't know, like, 4 or 5 staff to fucking 23 staff. Right?
Nice.
Well, what was that company?
Pro Workflow.
Is that the timesheeting?
Yeah.
Bro, we use that at work.
Still today?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
We use, because I was listening to something you were talking about on another podcast and you were talking about Pro Workflow and I'm like, hey, what? I use Pro Workflow at work.
I learned all my sales skills there.
Wow. Man.
It was a great learning experience. Being a sales professional at a young age, it taught me so much, right? It really humbled me as well. Just all that rejection, right, that you faced. And I got really good on the phone. If you think about it, it's a pretty shitty job, pretty basic job. Basically cold calling to some degree.
Yeah, yeah.
Book a meeting, make a sale, right? And I grew really fast. Did really well. And then I had a kid, right, in my mid-20s. Having a kid is a great experience, but I guess my relationship broke down and that was a big wake up. I spent a lot of money and I didn't work for a year. I took some time off. I like to tell people that I was going broke, but I don't think that's quite so true. I was going broke in terms of cash, but I didn't have real estate, but with a looming mortgage and not like I was high equity or anything, all these payments coming out. I was like, holy shit, I'm going to die soon. I'm fucked. Yeah. I'm fucked. And I opened a little dumpling shop with my mom.
Cool. Okay. We'll stop on the journey from at that point. Yeah. We want to get into something dumpling. Yeah. Anything you want to ask at the moment?
Yeah. How does a couple of things, like how do you go through that mindset transformation?
From when to when?
Like, you've got like all the odds are against you, you know, and to, like you said, you know, you've got your past life. How do you find a way up? I think
it's because
even just having like knowing that you're already going to be behind the eight ball in terms of even the possibility of someone even thinking about giving you a job, how do you still continue like to go to university even with, you know, that doubt and that uncertainty that something's going to work out? How does one apply themselves?
The dance, eh? It's dance. And it is gratitude. And it is positivity. But look, let's look at one side and just dance, right? Like, I think since a very young age, I believed I was special. So I believed in myself. I don't know where the self-esteem came from. I don't think my parents taught me anything around that. You know, if anything, they beat me down. They still beat me down. Yeah. But I believed I was special. But on the other hand, I also believed that I was a nobody too. And that gave me humility and the work ethic.
Right.
So that dance, right? And I'm sure you click straight away. You get it, right? Like you have to be both nobody and everybody at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. Right? Yeah.
And then there's gratitude, right? Like I look, because I have been so low physically and just in general health, yeah, right? And also even financially, I've gone down to zero like 3 or 4 times, right?
Yeah.
Because I've tasted failure and pain, I guess, to such an extreme level. A, it doesn't bother me so much. And B, nothing really hurts me today. Like, I could walk down the street and some kid could be like, fuck you. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Me too. I don't give a shit. Like, I don't give a shit. Fuck, sweet, fuck me too. Like, that ain't hurt. That don't feel nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You only go so far down there. Up's the only option, right? And so, yeah, how does someone like you become the person you are today?
I was, I could have a different answer for that every day.
Right. Yeah.
But something that's relative right now would be, last night I was journaling. I do write sometimes. And I was thinking, you know, to be the best, right? You're going to have to, it's a fact, right? Like, and everyone's like, if you really, really want to be the best, right? You're going to have to, I guess, work a bit more, sacrifice a bit more, be a bit more responsible, I guess, than everyone else. Feel a little bit more pain or perhaps a lot more pain. But also equally probably feel a lot more highs too. You're just going to have to be a bit more extreme in every aspect, right? So I constantly have this dialogue with myself, and it changes, you know, all the time. It's not always positive, but I'm always talking to myself. And so last night that was my dialogue. And what I realized was that the better question to ask is maybe how much are you willing to suffer? A smile, right, while you suffer.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, like, are you consciously thinking about it, you know, when the going gets tough and sometimes you just got to pull some hours, got to do the work, got to do the dirty work, you know, no one else wants to do. Is that something that you're just like, I know I got to get to point Z, so I just got to do the work. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the facts. Mm-hmm. Just do it.
And you know, we would talk about gratitude, right? Don't you think we are so lucky who we are today, you, me? We can be here today, take time off. I mean, it's not even the end of the day yet, let's be honest, and shoot like this passion project. Like, what the fuck do we have to complain about, bro? Come on.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't even pay the bills, bro. Yeah. Right? And we're having fun, right? Like, let's be honest, it doesn't, right?
No way.
It doesn't pay the fucking bills. Right?
Yeah.
Compared to our parents, they did not have this opportunity, a chance to do this.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Well,
speaking about paying the bills, is there something Dumpling wanting to sponsor podcast? I'm kidding. What do you think the biggest lesson you've learned from your parents has been? Is it the hard work? Is it the grind? Is it the immigrant grind? Or?
I would have given you a different answer, perhaps. Last year, perhaps a year before as well. I would give you different answers all the time. But at the moment, as much as I'm appreciative of the fact that my parents almost like kind of humbled me and always set high expectations for myself. Yeah, for me.
Mm.
Yeah. even till today. And so I thank them for setting, helping me discover how to set high expectations. And I also thank myself for not being bitter about it, for not taking it the wrong way and having a bad relationship. And whatnot.
Had you ever taken it the bad way? Were you
I've never been a bitch. No. And it's really easy to be a bitch, you know, and be like, oh, you don't love me who I am. No, no, all that kind of shit. I'm like, man, no, that ain't me. No.
Where did you learn that?
I don't know.
Did you have the option to not?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I'll give you, you can feel my energy, right? I'm quite positive, right? But we talk about some dark times, right? Like I've thought about killing myself a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One time was when I was fully blind, laying in bed, right? Fully blind, both eyes, didn't know if I could ever see ever again. Yeah, uncertainty.
Yeah.
And I thought about killing myself. You know what's crazy? I fucking didn't know how, because I was blind. Didn't even know how to take my life. I literally couldn't fucking do it. Right? Yeah. I was like, fuck. You know? So you want to know the depths of where I've been. I was like, so that gives you some insight.
So what is it? All right. So what is it that, what do you get up for in the morning? You know, what's that purpose? What's your why? What's that thing that as soon as your lights are on and your morning montage hits, man, what's that thing that gets you out of bed and what are you doing all of this for?
That's a fantastic
question. Like, why are you alive?
That's a fantastic question. I love that. That's a great question. So it's like, what's your dream, right? Essentially, what's your goal? What's your dream in life? I have many dreams, but one that's on the at the top, like the bigger umbrella is, at the moment, I think I want to be a politician.
What?
I may not.
Wow.
I may not be.
Yeah.
I think I want to be a politician. Because in my eyes, I think that's, surprise you guys.
Yeah, man.
Not expecting
I think that's how I'm going to have the influence to make changes in the community. But then I think about all the people that had big influence and made actual impact. None of them were fucking politicians. So, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and am I curious and am I like crazy about it? Oh, fuck. You have no idea. Yeah.
So,
all this business. Sorry to cut you.
Yeah, no,
all this good. Business is to fuel that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So above being the politician, what are those values and what is that why?
So I was going to get to, I want to, I believe it's a social class thing, but I want to positively impact the social working class, the working class. And I want to give equal opportunity or inspire or make some differences in the system to give people in the working class, all colors, all genders, everything, more opportunity, especially in the working class.
Nice. That's a big call, and definitely. I don't think politician is the way to.
I don't think
to get.
I think through just from like being the way you are, the way that you present yourself, the way you present the store, you know, is very. It's appealing to that population of people. You know, like we've been in the public school,
yeah.
We've sat next to that community.
Yeah.
You know, we are that community. And I think what you show through who you are and what you do is that, like you said, man, you don't have to, you're a nobody, but you are somebody.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And if you can do it, why can't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about Something Dumpling.
Okay.
Where did that idea spark from? How did it start?
Pure desperation. My other option was a professional tech company, probably the better financial decision, but I couldn't take it because at the time I didn't know if the mother of my child was going to hack it, I guess, alone. I had to go overseas, go to Singapore for it. So I turned it down, and then with the last little cash left, I was like, fuck, what can I sell? What do I know?
Yep.
So I just sat myself down and did, you know, one of those brand awareness, fucking things that people pay $5,000-$6,000 for. I did it to myself. and then it got to like a couple of products based on brand that I wanted to, you know, I guess push out into the market.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like bowls and dumplings, and dumplings wasn't even the first product. It was like the last product. And it eventually, because I did product last in terms of designing something.
Yeah.
And then it was dumplings. So yeah, we opened the store. No experience in hospitality whatsoever.
And where was the first store, sorry?
O'Connell Street.
Okay.
Yeah. CBD.
Yeah.
And it took a few weeks for it to kind of get some traction.
Yeah.
But when it got traction, it got traction. Yeah. I think at its peak, that store, its former glory before COVID, I'm quite confident to say, I think Sumpton Dumpling may have been the busiest little like pop-up, those hole-in-the-wall style businesses, maybe in the Southern Hemisphere.
Wow.
Like, in the world. I'm going to say perhaps like...
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and New Zealand, Australia, for sure, 100%.
We had
lines like for years, you know. Like, at the beginning, it was like 40, 50 meters. And then when it died down, it was still 10 meters for years, right? Yeah. Every day. 400 something transactions and by the end of lunch. I don't think anyone could ever did that ever anywhere. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Did you bootstrap that yourself?
Yes.
100%?
Yes.
Wow.
Till today. Yep. I have no business debt as such. All my debt is personal.
Yep. Yeah. Nice. And your family's involved in that as well?
Yes.
Why do you keep family involved?
Oh, fuck. It's not easy.
Yeah.
To start with that, right? How much gratitude comes and goes, like all things. Our families, we fight, but we love each other. But it's part of the brand, I think, as well. And it's also who I want to become. You know, I understand in the bigger picture of both what I'm trying to achieve in the community, also within my own family, it's a must, you know. And I think if you can't even manage to sort your own family out, pull everyone together and be a leader, chances of doing it in the community is quite low.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely. And so have you seen the effects roll out within the community? How has Sumpton Dumpling affected what effect has it had on the community?
To be honest, maybe because I'm harsh on myself, I feel like it hasn't done jack shit. not to where I would like, you know. Sure, we do fundraisers, or we might support this cause, that cause. I do things personally as well. So I'm actively involved with Lifeline. You know, I've committed to Lifeline.
Cool.
I personally, I don't just pay somebody to go deliver some free dumplings. I fucking go there myself.
Mm-hmm. So
you know, every week, every other week, and I drop food off and I say hi and stuff. But anyways. I think I have done jack shit compared to what I will do in the future.
Mm. Cool.
This guy's too... Don't sell yourself too short, man.
You have to be. Yeah.
Why?
I think you have... When I say I want to be the best, I fucking mean it, man. I'm a champion. I know I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, how do you then empower people... If, like, you know you're the champion, but you're constantly humbling yourself, like, how do you play with that, you know?
Well, I'm a different character when I'm with my team, with my staff, with other people.
Right.
But when I'm just by myself, I'm very critical, very hard.
Yeah.
And I have to be. When I say, like, oh, I want it, like, I it's pretty hard to explain that with just a couple of words. The fire in me burns so deep. I have my own motto, my own mantra, you know.
Yeah.
Which is?
You don't have to share it, though.
If you don't want to.
Yeah, because those are personal, right?
I'll share it. I like to do it when I do cardio, and I can repeat it for like fucking 45 minutes straight, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So I do my cardio. This is something we asked, we can talk about one of my routines, my rituals. Mm. I like to repeat, the ground will shake when I walk one day. And mountains will move when I speak. And I can say that for 45 minutes.
Almost. Powerful. Yeah. Very powerful.
And that's just ingrained and far out, man.
This is one of the realest dumb podcasts I've ever done in my life. I'm quite emotional right now.
Yeah, man. Just living it, being it, man. Yeah. That's what the space is here for.
Is that motto, keep the fire alive in you? Or is it the negativity?
I almost use it to torment myself.
Yeah.
So we can make it relatable, and we can talk about the cardio sessions, right? Yep. And you know, we've been talking about negativity, right? So this is one of the things I use to practice gratitude, and it might sound crazy to you guys, right? And it may be relatable. You may understand, may not. So I like to take myself to depression a couple of times a week.
Oh, wow.
So I do my cardio sessions. It's like a wild mess, and it's perfect with that song, you know, with Runaway. Mm. And I take myself to this crazy place in my mind. It's almost like meditation, but my version. Mm. And I just destroy myself with all my mistakes, all the things I've done. I'm so critical. So I'm thinking all these super dark thoughts, right? While I guess, muster those thoughts, muster those words, repeat those words in my mouth over and over again for 40 minutes or so. Sometimes a bit longer, sometimes a bit shorter. I also use it as a strategizer. Once I'm in that kind of really dark space, because I'm full of energy, you know, full of fight, you know, like I'm
super full of Saiyan. Fight.
Because I feel like I'm going to die, you know. So all I've got is fight in me, and I start to think. And after that, then I just pull myself out, and I go through the rest of my day, and nothing really hurts me. I'm super positive, super happy, yeah. Because. I nearly died in like, you know, this morning. what could you say to hurt me? What could life throw at me? Like, it's all good. Like,
Do you think you're, there's this idea of either being dragged or pulled, right? The dragged or pulled. So do you think you're being dragged through life, as in you using the negativity, or are you pulling yourself with inspiration or a higher goal?
I think
pull.
Yeah. I'm spiritual and religious. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when we talk to you, it does come from a very dark place. Mm. But I think the fact that you said you're able to pull yourself out of that shows that, yes, in fact, you are being pulled in. So I was just interested to see what your take on that is. Mm. Where does Something Dumpling go in the future?
A couple of stores, business-wise, it's transitioning now to... I think it's transitioning now to a content creation business. Mm-hmm. And we just so happen to sell dumplings on the side.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
A couple more stores. I'll take it over to Australia. Mm. I'll expand over there. Because the product is something that has to be sold retail, I haven't figured out a way to sell it like online yet. How do you sell hot food, right? Yeah, yeah. I've stayed away from selling it cold because I feel like...
Experience.
Yeah. Might make money though, but it's more than just money for me.
Yeah.
Because if you bought it online, you might experience like the content and stuff, but I don't think you'd be able to feel like what it's like to be served by me in store. Like I'm always giving a bit of myself to every customer I face, all this positivity. Right? So that's where some numbs gone. I can see myself maybe going across Stitch for a couple of years. I've got some business plans over in Australia, for just personal wealth stuff. From where I sit on the Gold Coast, I want to build there. So yeah.
Mm. Cool.
Anything else from you, Perry? Or should we kick into the L5?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So we've got these five questions. It's not one of those things we just ask everyone. Yeah. They're a bit specific. So we think we'll go through this, and then I feel like, unless you've got anything more to share or anything that you feel like we haven't touched on, we can touch on thereafter. So how do you, I think you've already told us, but how do you get through your darkest days?
I have a great relationship with A, myself, and B, pain. I look at pain and suffering as a blessing, as a gift. Because I'm spiritual and I'm religious, I feel like when God or Allah, whatever you want to call Almighty, man upstairs, when he wants to teach you things, he could write it on a billboard, put it outside your window, and you wouldn't even fucking look at it, bro. Straight up. Yeah. Mm. He has to smite you. So I look at myself as perhaps one of the chosen ones, one of the more blessed ones. So he's blessed me with so much adversity. I'm very lucky to experience those, because the other alternative is I could have been born in a some gentrified family and just been cruising, I guess, in a average. Somewhat average, linear kind of, but up, trending up kind of life, right? Yeah. And cruised and life would have been cool, and which is great too. If you have that life, fantastic for you. But I think I'm blessed. I'm very, very lucky. So that's how I look at it, actually really positively.
Totally.
Yeah.
Which takes us on to our next question. What does positivity mean to you? Positivity.
For me personally, positivity is something we have absolute control over. It's an energy source, but energy is just energy. If we look at it in terms of even just kilojoules, it only goes one way. Mm. It's all about, it exists all around us first and foremost, right? Yeah. Whether you acknowledge it or not, energy, positivity, don't give a shit about you, to be honest. And it's our job to take energy and push it out into the world with a positive eye onto it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so harnessing that positivity, what does happiness look and feel like to you?
I'm still trying to figure this one out. Happiness. I'm not sure if I value it very highly. I value other things, though.
Right.
I said that very lightly. I actually don't give a shit about happiness. What I do care about is living a fulfilling life.
Right.
Care tremendously about is perhaps creating as big of a community as I can in terms of a domain that I can give the opportunity for other people to feel happiness. But for me, it's just not that important.
Do you feel don't want to take away from the questions. Do you feel like if you're, I'm really struggling to grasp where you're coming from, right? And I understand what you're saying. Do you feel like if you were to hold on to happiness or hold on to positivity and not take yourself to those depressed times twice a week, do you feel like you'll lose something in yourself, that drive?
Well,
is that why you're holding on to it?
Happiness. Okay.
Or so, pushing happiness away. Sorry. So
I've defined, these are not, when you ask me these questions, I've spent a lot of time thinking about it.
Totally.
Yeah, of course. That's very clear. Yeah.
Happiness comes and goes, man. It's an emotion. Mm-hmm. I'm happy now.
Mm.
And then flick, change it. I can change it in my mind just like that and just be unhappy too.
Yep.
So like in terms of priority, like because I have such a good harness of it. And just
yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right.
I understand.
So yeah. I feel like you're just at equilibrium, like you're aiming to be on equilibrium.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Because if I was to ask you on the same thing, what does sadness and sorrow look like? Is that something do you entertain that?
Well done. You're right. You're right, because it is equal. Because I could equally say I don't give a shit either.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't give a shit either. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's evident in your ability to go into depression and pull yourself out as well. I think you can't do that if you are leaning one way too far. So
if you're constantly seeking that happiness, then you struggle to lift yourself out.
Mm.
I think if you're constantly seeking happiness, chances are you're not very happy.
True.
But I want to say one thing, right? Guys, I want to say thank you to you guys, because you taught me something today about the equilibrium thing. I never, because I do a lot of personal development, man, and I never figured that one out. So I want to say thank you to you, Cash, because you taught me something today.
It's not me, man. It's just everything. Yeah. We're just the instruments. Something that I contend with and contest a lot with in my mind, because like what I can feel like you've got a solid work ethic, man. You just work yourself like a dog.
Multiple plates spinning.
You know, like you've just got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And that seems to be like the way you operate. And that comes from such a vision as well of finding fulfillment and serving the people around you. What does doing nothing look like to you? Because personally, I struggle with this, man.
I'll give you some perspective, okay? So, like, it's absolute fact that we all need respite, rest, right? But you can rest with purpose, right? So one of the things
rest with purpose?
With purpose, right? Because if you don't rest, you're not going to operate at full capacity, right? I enjoy passing. I play COD, man. I play Warzone.
Nice.
I make it absolutely mandatory. I play with my friends as much as I can. It might be really late, whatever. But see, I feel no guilt and I feel nothing because I know I need that time. Yeah. And now, if anything, I think I'm working. My perspective is, yeah, I'm playing games. It's not adding value in terms of, it's adding value by relaxing me. I feel human a little bit again, right?
Yeah.
It brings me down to earth a little bit. I'm able to socialize and chill out a bit. And that is almost like work in itself.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah. You gotta put that time and energy in for that.
Yeah.
So you're rested and ready to
tackle what's next.
Yeah.
I actually work immediately after my
Of course. I wouldn't imagine like
anything else. Yeah. But he plugs in his battery pack when he's playing.
He's just sitting on recharge.
Yeah. And the last one is, what is one goal that you have for the remainder of the year?
I only have one goal for this year. I keep things so simple, man. I have been trying to build a shop in South Auckland for fucking 2 years now, some shit, man. It's like infuriating. Because as much effort as I have put in, the truth is it has not come to fruition. So fuck my efforts. It doesn't matter. Right? So I want to open up a store in Manukau. Shit, just in the last 3 months, I've tried to buy a building, lease a couple of sites. The fucking effort is there, man. I just can't seem to close the fucking deal. I'm open to buying or leasing or this or that. And I can't seem to put a deal together. So for me, I'm going to, that's my goal. I'm going to open up some Manukau. That's it.
Sweet.
For some dumpling. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a lack of space or landlords have been dickheads?
Manukau is super busy right now.
Yeah.
It's always been really busy, especially in my space and retail.
Yeah.
In terms of how much foot traffic there is compared to, like I said, the CBD. Mm. I don't know, like 5 to 10 times.
Yeah.
So everything's thriving, even if you suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably still like making money, you know? Yeah.
Is going out to the airport too far? Out at the new precinct they're building up there?
Yeah, man. I've tried, like, I've had a look at Takanini and Papakura and whatnot.
Yeah.
And perhaps in the future, but Manukau is like the CBD of South Auckland, right?
That's right. For sure. Yep.
Give me the CBD there.
You got to be in there.
Yeah, I want the CBD first. And maybe I'll just go further. And I'm picky with locations.
Yeah.
It's the one thing in these businesses that you cannot change.
Yeah.
Once it's stuck there. You can. It's a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm very picky with these. Yeah.
Yeah, and as you should be. I mean, I think that's evident in the stores that you've built to date. So absolutely you need to be picky. Mm. Who do you look up to?
Who do I look up to?
We did our last episode was on who our heroes are. Mm. We discussed the importance of what I feel is, you know, we can tell a lot about a person on who they look up to. And it's always nice to sort of have someone to aspire to.
I look up to different people for different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Runaway Kanye West is a creative genius, but he can be a Muppet, you know, he can be a Muppet, but he is perhaps maybe also because my biological father is a career artist. I understand the craziness, the mess.
Yeah.
Maybe I've inherited that too. I'm crazy, I think. So I look up to Kanye for inspiration and creativity. I look up to Elon Musk for humility and work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
People more relatable. For strength, I look up to my mother.
Yep.
I look up to Bruce Blake. The only guy I kind of would say has been some of a mentor figure in my life. I look up to Sean's dad, my uncle Pat from PB Tech, for PB Technologies. And not everything. He's made plenty of mistakes and flaws, and he's definitely deeply flawed. But I looked up to him for his ambition and his drive to keep going. Right.
Big time, yeah.
So multiple people.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. What else?
Is there anything you feel like we haven't covered today? Any burning topics that you're like, weren't these two idiots just talking about this?
It's your podcast now. You're the captain now.
I'm the captain. I think the energy in the room right now is like intense, right? Right. And I want to ask you guys, how do I feel?
How do you feel?
How do I feel?
Your energy?
Yeah. But I'm different on different days, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I was very emotional before, right? And before this podcast started, I was super, super positive, right? I've changed, right? I've shifted, right? But right now, I think the energy is, how do you guys feel?
He's doing a morale check. we do that at the beginning, and we also do it at the end. So I feel like, bro, we're sitting at the top of Everest right now, where it's super cold, but the energy is that high, and we're vibing on such a level that we're just keeping each other warm. You know, we're chilling there. That's how I feel like we are.
So I feel there's a lot of chaos, right? And I mean that in the most positive way. I've always believed that, and I've noticed in people who are ultra successful, there has to be a little bit chaotic, a little bit crazy. And that's what I feel from you. There's an equilibrium, like you said, Akash, but then there's peaks and troughs, but you know how to navigate it.
You've harnessed it.
Exactly. You've put the straddle on and you're riding it.
Thank you.
That's how I feel. But it's beautiful that someone who has gone through the life that you've gone through, someone who's had the experiences that you've had, someone who's built an ultra successful business, still has so much humility, so much humanity, is so humble, and is not afraid of being vulnerable. And I think that is absolutely what is missing. And we spoke about it just before we hit record on the cameras. Your ability to be vulnerable is what is so attractive about you. Everything else, the watches, the cars, the money, the business, it's not as vibrant as you, the person, Shane.
Thank you.
That's the feeling I get from you.
Thank you very much for seeing that. It takes a lot of intelligence, emotionally and just general intelligence to see that out of me. It's very easy to get lost in all the shiny things around. Thank you. I'm going to share some things, why I'm so easy to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. and I'm so comfortable. And it comes down to like my dialogue with myself. I'm not scared of anything, anyone, ever. Yeah. And I'm happy to wear my emotions on my sleeves. And this isn't dark. This is actually me just being confident in myself. And I love myself. Right? I really do. Mm. If I tell you how I feel and I'm really open and you decide to cut me and do me dirty, oh, silly you. Not a good call. I can tell straight away you're not very intelligent.
Yeah.
That's a bad decision.
Very cool. Anything else you want to?
I want to say thank you because this is the first time I've ever done a podcast where I've been so real. The last one I did, which is fantastic, and shout out to Trav and whatever. Shout out to Trav, the technician. It was good too. But here, I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because it's dark, and maybe because the lights make me truly feel vulnerable. I do feel vulnerable.
In the interrogation room.
This is the most real I've ever been online. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Seriously, thank you. Yeah.
Before we round it up, have you lived your best day yet?
Have I lived my best day yet? 100%.
You have?
I have lived my best day. I mean, well, to this day I have, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sure as I enter my prime, like, I think my, in terms of like my, as an individual, like my career is just beginning, right?
Yeah, man.
My life is kind of just beginning. So up until this point, gratitude, I think I've had a fantastic life. Not just one day, so many days. So I've had like such a good life. I'm shit. Today is one of those days. Just, I have a good life. But will they can keep getting better? 100%. Like, yeah. I'm not sure where the limit is for that. Yeah.
Amazing.
Nice. All I can say is that a dumpling is never going to taste the same again. And that's what you've changed for me. I just want to thank you so much for your time, your energy, your presence, your vulnerability, man.
Sure.
And I think Perry's touched on it so well, your humility, your humanity, your humbleness, you know, just sharing everything on the table with us. I think we've seen the beauty that is behind what we see in front of us. You know, that energy is so raw, so vibrant. Just thank you for bringing that here and sharing that with us. Before we round off, where is the morale at, man? How are you feeling?
10 out of 10.
Perfect. Perry?
10 out of 10.
I'm sitting at a 10 out of 10, man. It's a we've had a home run today.
Thank you. And I want to say it again. Fucking thank you, guys.
No, thank you.
Just thank you. Yeah.
Just one more before you wrap up.
Yeah.
This quote has like lived on in my memory for a very long time. There's very few people who I come across that this makes absolute sense for me. And just because I think when I came at the feeling I was getting from you a little bit earlier and I said chaotic, and again, I mean that positively, but I just want to round off by saying this quote here. So it says, the reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. And I think that really sums up who you are. You're unreasonable. It's unreasonable to say, I'm going to get beaten up by a gang, lose sight of my right eye, have to wear two lenses in my left eye, but still come out and be so positive, be such a huge contributor to the society, and build what you've built without being unreasonable. So that's all I wanted to share.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. We hope this podcast has lifted your vibration, your energy. Please follow Shane on his journey. Go and have some dumplings.
Yes.
Your life will change. I hope you can, because that's what I feel, is that when I say that a dumpling will never taste the same again, it 100% will never taste the same again. I think we
backed
can,
by the story, yeah.
You know, we understand the journey. We understand the pain, pulling yourself out of that and the humility that goes into making one dumpling. You know, that is so beautiful. So I encourage everyone who's tuned in today to please support Shane on his journey. Go and do that. I couldn't ask for any more. Just thank you for your time and energy, man. There's so much we've taken away from today. With that being said, until next time,
be human, be now.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Does that song resonate now?
Absolutely.
100%, man.